Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Amen. So like Pastor John said, you know, it's been last night, yesterday was just absolutely so powerful. And being, you know, together, knowing that there's so many that are worshiping God, crying out to God for a breakthrough. It is just such a powerful thing. And I really do believe that God is going to answer our prayers. You know, when we started the USA Pray, you know, page and the whole thing we've started, our whole idea behind that was to create something that would sustain us. In other words, it wouldn't just be a once-off thing. You know, yesterday was a sacred assembly and it was very powerful. But how many of you know that that's not where it ends? Amen? We have to continue to see God's face. We have to continue to pray. We have to continue to cry out to Him. And so that's what we're going to do over the next 37, 38 days. We're going to continue to pray and seek the face of the Lord and cry out to Him. Because I know that right now there is a lot in the balance in our nation. I don't think there's ever been a time like this time right now. And like Pastor John said, it's awesome to be living in these times. You know, if we look with eyes to see, or with eyes that man have, you know, natural eyes, it doesn't always look so good right now. But with spiritual eyes, we're in a very exciting time. And so that kind of led me to the message that I'm going to be preaching to you this morning. And I feel like this is so important for us as a church. There's a lot of new people in the church, and I really need to bring this message to you this morning, because this is critical in the lives of a Christian that desires to walk with God. If you desire to walk with Him, if you desire to have a relationship with God and to be a Christian that is, you know, for lack of a better word, successful. The word successful is not a bad word. It's a good word, to have a successful walk with God. You know, I don't know about you, but I want to have a successful walk with the King. Amen. And so one of the things that is so necessary for us as believers is to walk in the presence of God. You have to walk in the presence of God. Now, when I say that, there are some people that get really excited because they totally understand or think they understand what it means. But there's a lot of us that don't understand, what does it really mean? What is the presence of God? How does the presence of God work? Isn't the presence of God everywhere? There's many questions when we talk about the presence of God. Isaiah 64 verse number 1 says this: Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence. Right there, you just get a picture of how awesome the presence of God is. That even the mountains will shake at His presence. As fire burns bushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. One of the things that the presence of God will do is when you enter the presence of God will bring the fear of the Lord. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God, which really is not like I'm afraid of God. It's when you come to the realization that you understand just how awesome God is. And then there's this reverent fear that comes over you because you're like, I'm in His hands. You know, He is the creator of all things. And the Bible says that the nations may tremble at His presence. Verse number 3 says, when you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down and the mountains shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for Him. And this is just so powerful. And I mean, we could really just stay in this place the entire morning. Because the truth is that God responds to those who desire, who wait for God. Those who desire to walk in His presence. If you desire to be a person that draws to His presence, that hungers for His presence, that thirsts for His presence, there are benefits that you cannot believe. You know that there are really benefits to walking in God's presence. And we'll look at that this morning. One thing that most people don't understand is that God's presence is actually something that you will experience, even in a tangible way. When God's presence comes, you see, God's presence, it's very difficult to teach God's presence, because the truth is His presence must be revealed. His presence must be revealed. This is very important. So let's dive right in. What is the presence of God? What is the presence of God? Now, as I said at the beginning, most people will say, well, you know, the Bible says that the presence of God is everywhere. And if you thought that, you're right. The presence of God is everywhere. Psalm 139, verse number 7 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." In other words, you cannot escape the presence of God. So we know that His presence is everywhere. In other words, we can see Him in everything. But the thing is that His presence may be everywhere, but His presence is not revealed everywhere. And that's the key. That's the key that many, many believers today don't understand. You see, you can talk about God's presence. How many of you have ever stood outside and you look at the trees and you look at the birds and you say, man, that's God. Look what He did. I can see His presence and what He's did and who He is just by looking out at the ocean when you see a sunset or a sunrise. But when we talk about experiencing God's presence or God revealing Himself, He doesn't do that all the time. And in order for you to experience a presence-driven life, you have to live in His presence. You know, the other day when we were in a prayer meeting, I had a vision. We have visions. Visions are cool, just by the way. So I had this vision, and in the vision, I had a vision of the presence of God around me. And in the vision, I was walking, and I haven't even told my wife this. I was walking in the vision, and it was like a force field. That's how it felt. It was like everywhere I went, this presence was around me. It was like a protection. It was like a shield. And this is actually what led me to preach the sermon. And I felt like I need to tell the church that when they're in the presence of God, there's a provision that comes. There's a protection that comes. Listen, when you're in the presence of God, there's much more than you will experience without it. Okay, let's go a little deeper. So now if that's the case, sorry, my wife, I have to listen, you know. You know, the saying is happy wife, happy life, you know. I can tell you she loves me, guys. Amen. She's the best. So now that we understand that the presence is everywhere, but He doesn't reveal Himself all the time, let's take a little bit of a deeper look at what that could represent. So Psalm 69, verse number 17, this may surprise you this morning, but I know that in some way you've all asked this question because it must have come up to you at one point. Psalm 69, 17 says this, "And do not hide your face from your servant, for I'm in trouble. Hear me speedily." This is the psalmist, and he's crying out to God, and he's saying, "God, please don't hide your face from me." Now, the Bible says that you will not see God face to face. The Bible says that no man can see His face and live. Are you with me? You've all heard that, right? So what does the word face mean there? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this morning. The Hebrew word for face there is the word paneia. Or panim is really the word, but paneia is the root word there. And that word does mean face, but it also means someone's identity. It reveals someone's identity, or another meaning could be his presence. So in other words, the psalmist is crying out. Now remember, this same psalmist is the one who said to the Lord, "Listen, I cannot get away from your presence because it's in hell and it's in heaven. In other words, you're everywhere. But now he's talking about the revealed presence of God. Now he's talking about a face-to-face encounter with God himself. In other words, the psalmist had the ability to be in the presence of God, and he was in trouble in this moment. And in this moment, he felt as though the presence wasn't there anymore, or the face of God was no longer there. When you're in the face of someone, if someone's in your face, if someone's talking to you face to face, how many of you know they're in your presence? Right? And we know David did not look upon the face of the Lord face to face according to Scripture. Is everybody okay out there? So we know that that word, yes, it means face, it means identity, but it also means presence, and you can go look it up. So the psalmist is saying, do not hide your face. Do not hide your presence from me. Psalm 30 verse number 7 says this. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hide your face and I was troubled. I want you to understand that as a believer, as a Christian, we are supposed to live in the presence of God. A Christian that doesn't have a presence-driven life. I know there's a purpose-driven life, but I'd rather have a presence-driven life. Amen. Not that I have anything against purpose, but I want my purpose to come out of his presence. Because out of his presence, oh, you'll see what there is. There's a lot of stuff, guys. Out of his presence is provision. Out of his presence is protection. Out of his presence, there is encounters with God. There is the voice of God. Out of his presence is the manifest expression of who he is. The presence of God is something that every single believer must experience, that every single believer must walk in. It is his desire. Listen, it was his desire from the beginning. God created Eden, and then he put man in the Garden of Eden. You see, God creates an environment before he puts something in it. Before he created fish, he created the ocean. Before he created trees, he created the land. Then he creates Eden and he puts man in Eden, an environment for man. Man messes it up and they get taken out of that environment. In Eden, the presence was there. As soon as they were taken out of the presence, they started dying. And that was a manifest presence. We'll go more into that this morning. Is everybody okay? All right. This mic is really weird. Well, we'll manage. Amen. So if God is revealing his presence to us, you could also say that he's making himself known. So in other words, when God desires to reveal his presence to you, he is making himself known to you in a manifest way. This is really powerful. Let's go to Numbers 12, verse number 6. Numbers 12, verse number 6. Then he said, hear now my words. This is God speaking. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him. In a vision, I speak to him in a dream. So we know that God can reveal himself in dreams or in visions. This is a manifest way where God can actually reveal himself. Then he says this, and this is what I love. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful. Everybody say faithful. I want you to know that one of the conditions for experiencing the presence of God is you must be faithful to him. You must be faithful to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You shall serve no other God besides him. You must remember, while Moses is having encounters with God on the mountain, while he's serving God on the mountain, the people are not faithful towards him. Moses experiences and walks in the presence of God, and the people that are serving other gods and following other ways, they don't experience it. You see, you can even have an anointing, a gift. You can even be prophetic. You can have visions and dreams, but you can still not be walking in the presence. He'll speak to prophets in dark speech, like riddles is what dark speech is. It's a way that God reveals himself and speaks to people that he's called to be prophetic or with certain gifts. We don't want to get into that. But with Moses, it says that He is faithful in all my heart. I speak with him face to face. And again, I want to say to you that if you study scripture, just go back about seven, eight verses, and you will see he says that no man shall see my face and live. And then he puts Moses in the cleft of the rock. So this cannot be the face of God, but it can be his appearance. It can be that God revealed his form to Moses. He revealed himself to Moses. So what does that mean? It says, I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees, listen, the form of the Lord. He sees the manifest presence of God. He has access. He sees God's form. The word form in the Hebrew also means manifestation. The word for form there is the word manifestation. Oh God, this is so powerful that God will actually manifest himself to man. This is unbelievable. You see, the only reason why you don't get excited is because you've never experienced it. But once you've experienced the manifest presence of God, man, it makes you excited. Yesterday, while they were busy speaking, God was opening the heavens to me. And I began to look and I began to see things. As soon as revelation comes, as soon as God begins to reveal himself to you, he begins to show you parts of himself that you've never seen before. Well, there's nothing new under the sun. Absolutely. You just haven't found it all out yet. And you never will find it all out. So the word form means manifestation. The manifestation of God's presence is simply this: the manifestation of God himself. This is really powerful. If you want to know what it is like to be in the presence of God, I want you to know that he gave us some really practical examples. The thing is, we can overcomplicate this and people can be like, whoop, this is over my head. So we know in the Old Testament, he would reveal himself to certain individuals. But when Jesus came on the earth, Jesus was the perfect example of how God will manifest his presence. What do I mean by that? Well, Jesus is God manifest in the flesh in the most incredible way. Because when you look at Jesus' nature, when you look at Jesus' character, when you look at the power that Jesus carried, when you look at the way that Jesus loved, all you do is you see God. If you want to know what it's like to have God manifest himself, well, the disciples had it. They walked with Jesus in the flesh. It was like God was standing next to them in the flesh, and he was manifesting his ways. He was manifesting his nature. He was manifesting his power. He would prophesy. He would cast out demons. He would heal the sick. He would show his goodness and his nature everywhere he went. When people were full of demon spirits, they would come running and fall at his feet and ask for deliverance. Why? Because immediately all of heaven would recognize that this was not just a normal man, but this was the manifest presence of God in the flesh, standing right next to them. That's why the demons would say, we know who you are, Jesus. We know that you are the Son of God, because they knew that this man that was standing there was the manifest presence of God in the flesh. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So what about now? Jesus has gone to be with the Father. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus said this, I will not leave you alone, but I will send you another helper. I don't have the time this morning to go into what that word another means there, but it means a whole lot. When God reveals himself to us, it is through the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is here. Where is he? He's living on the inside of you. If you've given your life to Jesus, I want you to know that inside of you is a potential. That potential, his name is Holy Spirit, and he is in you, and he's ready to manifest through your life. Just like he manifested in the life of Jesus, the way that you access the presence of God is to unlock what He's already given you, which is the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, will teach us just like Jesus taught. He will lead us just like Jesus led. He will transform us. He will cause us to become fruitful. He will cause our nature to change. What changes us is when we're in the presence of God. When we're in the Word of God, it begins to transform us. Fruit begins to be more. The Bible speaks of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls them gifts, and then 3 or 4 sentences down, it no longer calls them gifts, it calls them manifestations. Well, if God would manifest Himself in the Old Testament by doing signs and wonders and miracles and performing His works, guess what? He's going to do the same thing in the New Testament. He will reveal Himself through power in your life, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, manifesting Himself. Manifesting Himself. And that's so powerful. We see God manifest through the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. But in order for you to walk in that presence, to walk in the power of God, to walk and begin to bear true fruit, fruit of the Spirit as well, and you'll begin to change, you have to desire the presence. Exodus 33:15, Moses said it like this. He said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." And there's a great backstory there. But the truth is that Moses recognized, listen, God would perform wonders and miracles. And God said to him, "Listen, I'll even send my angel before you." But Moses says, "No." He says, "I need your presence." Because he understood that in the presence of God was all the provision that he needed. And once you've encountered the presence, once you have that intimate relationship with God, you see, the Holy Spirit was sent to you not so that He could just be a thing or a power or a breath. Yes, He is those things, but so much more. You see, God's desire from the beginning was to have fellowship in the garden, to have fellowship with the children of Israel, to have fellowship with man when Jesus came in the flesh. And now He wants to have fellowship with you through the Holy Spirit. He wants to reveal His presence to you because you mean so much to Him. You see, in the Old Testament, there were those that had a great desire to be in the presence of God, people like Moses and David. And you can see that once they'd experienced it, they wanted more. In the New Testament, think about it. There are certain disciples that we can clearly see from Scripture, they desired and loved Jesus even more than the others. And they ended up changing the world. Look at John the Apostle, the beloved disciple, the one who loved Jesus the most. Peter, who was always there saying, "Lord, I'll never let you down." What was Peter? Was he perfect? No, he wasn't perfect. That's good news for you and I. Amen. But he had a desire to be with the Lord. When the Lord said, "I'm going to leave you," he said, "No ways. You're not going to leave me. I'm going to stay with you. I'll never betray you. I'll never leave your side." Listen, he did let him down, but guess what? That's okay. The fact is, it was his desire. In the New Testament, you can see there were people like Mary Magdalene, Mary of Bethany, when they went to the house of Mary and Martha. Martha was busy doing the things of ministry, busy preparing food. All Mary wanted to do was sit at His feet. I want you to know that it's 2,000 years later and we still talk about Mary of Bethany. We talk about how she loved the Lord so much that she wanted to sit at His feet. We talk about Mary Magdalene, who was previously a prostitute, who when she was changed and encountered the presence of the Lord, she could never be the same again. I want you to know something, that the Holy Spirit has been sent. Jesus said, "I will not leave you alone." He sent His Holy Spirit so that His Holy Spirit could manifest His presence so we could have an intimate relationship with God. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. That's who He is. He is God right now on the earth in that expression that He sent to you and I so that you could walk in it. Now, we see many times in the church today. Two particular types of people in the church, very, very often. The one type always desires fruit only. So in other words, the things of the Spirit are too much for them. It's weird. It's like, you know, people prophesying and laying hands and casting out demons. That's just too much. So the fruit of the Spirit, that's what I want. Just want to change on the inside. Just live my life and just make it to heaven. And then you get those on the other side that are just also too much. They don't worry about changing their nature and character. All they want is power. And listen, there's nothing wrong with power, but God must change you from the inside out. And you see, the psalmist understood. He understood how powerful this is. That's why in Psalm 51, verse number 11, David's deepest cry was this. He said, "Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." This was his deepest cry. You see, we can focus on the kingdoms, we can focus on power, we can focus on fruit, we can focus on all of those things. But there was one thing that he focused on that he desired more than anything. When Moses was approached and God said, "I'll send stuff before you, I'll send my angel before you," he said, "No, God, I need your presence." When David cried out, he said, "Listen, God, take anything, take kingdoms, take whatever you want, but don't take your presence." What's changed, church? Why is it that today in the New Testament church, we don't have a hunger and thirst for His presence like the days of old? I think part of the reason is because a lot of us don't understand. We don't understand what the presence of God is for. So let's quickly examine that this morning. Go to Psalm 27, verse number 4 in the Amplified Version, please. This is not too much. Are you guys okay? A little bit of like, you know, little bites of like baby meat. Like just soft, chewy, like, you know, when they cut the meat up. That's what we're doing today. Steaks will come another day, but this is already a bit to chew on. All right. Psalm 27, verse number 4. "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek, inquire for, and insistently require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in His presence all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness, and the delightful loveliness of the Lord, and meditate, consider, and inquire in His temple." The psalmist understood just how powerful it was to be in the presence of the Lord. Verse number 5, "For in the day of trouble, He will hide me in His shelter. In the secret place of His tent will He hide me. He will set me high upon the rock." I want you to know that the only way to a secret place is when His presence comes. Listen, when Moses said, "Lord, show me your glory," the Bible says that He put him in the cleft of the rock. I want you to know that the only time that can truly happen to you, where you get a provision and a protection when trouble comes, is when God hides you. Where does He hide you? In His presence. He hides you in His presence. That's what it says. Are you with me, guys? What does the word trouble mean? Every single one of us face these things in our lives. We face misfortune, misery, distress, injury and evil. That's what the word trouble means in the Hebrew. So the Bible says that if we seek His presence, you must understand, the psalmist understood. Remember, he said earlier that if I don't have your presence, I'm going to be in trouble. So he understood that when he was facing trouble, the only place he could go to find shelter, to find protection, to find covering, to find refuge would be in the presence of God. And so he knew that God would hide him, and He would take those things, that trouble that would come from him, if he had access to the presence of God. The presence of God keeps you. Listen to me, the second key. The presence of God will keep you from an attacking tongue. How many of you here have been attacked by tongues before? I'm not talking about speaking in tongues now. I'm talking about someone's evil tongue coming against you. So we know the first thing is that God will protect you when there is the day of trouble. The second thing is that he will protect you from people speaking evil of you. Psalm 31 verse 20. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. He will hide us, protect us, and provide for us a secret place. That secret place is only available in his presence. From what? From the attack of tongues of people. When someone speaks evil of you, well, that doesn't really matter, Pastor Alex. Well, then you don't know your word. The Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Words carry weight. That's why we need to be very careful what we say. But I want you to know that if you're someone that lives in the presence, those words will fall to the ground. They'll have no effect on you because there is a shelter, there is a covering, there is a hiding place. That hiding place is called the presence of God. And that is available to every single one of us. Can somebody say amen, please? The third key this morning. How many of you in this room have ever felt like there must be something more? Like I'm living this life, God, and you know, I've got so much stuff, and you know, things are good, but like, I just have this, I'm not satisfied. There's something missing. So the Bible speaks about a joy, a fullness of joy that comes. If you're looking for that kind of joy, you see, we look for it in the world, but the truth is the only place to truly find true joy. I'm not talking about happiness because happiness is temporal. Joy is permanent. Joy changes you because joy is something that is eternal. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." So I want you to know that fullness of joy, real joy, will come from the presence of God. The Bible also says, "And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." I want you to know that he will show you, look, he'll show you a path of life. You see, many of us are on our paths of life looking for something else when everything you need is in the presence of God. What you're looking for, what you desire, what you need will be found in his presence. Well, you know, I'm suffering from depression. I know the antidote. The antidote, the secret to getting rid of that depression is the presence of God. Because in the presence of God, even when you're in suffering, joy can come. Even when you're in loss, joy can come. And he will not only give you joy. Please put the scripture up for me. Quickly. Oh my. Come on, guys. All right. There will be life, there will be pleasures, and there will be joy. He will give you life forevermore. He will provide for you through it. Are you with me? The path of life, that's what I was looking for. He will show me the path of life. Listen, if you want to understand the path, the direction, why you're here, you need to step into his presence. That's the only time you'll really begin to understand what you were created for. Is that okay? All right, I'm almost done. Acts 3 verse 19. And this is my favorite. Not that the others aren't cool already, right? Acts 3:19 says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." That word refreshing in the Greek is the word anapsikos, and it means relief, refreshing, encouragement. It means rest. I want you to know that many of us labor through life, but we want relief. We need to be refreshed. That refreshing, that peace that comes when you're in his presence is something that no one can explain. That's why when Jesus blew on the disciples and gave them the Holy Spirit, he said, peace to you. Because when you're in the presence of God, that's when you'll begin to experience true peace, true refreshing. And the last one is rest. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to toil in your walk with God. You can rest in him. Psalm 33 verse 14 says, he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. You see, Moses understood the value of the presence of God. Rest, provision, protection, direction. Pretty much everything we need. So that he will sustain us in his presence. So let me ask you a question. Are you experiencing the presence of God in your life? Are you walking in his presence? You know, there are people that will sometimes experience his presence and then the presence is not there anymore. Like they'll be walking with God for years and they'll be experiencing his presence. But then suddenly, I can't feel his presence anymore. Now listen, I'm all for walking by faith. But sometimes when we don't experience his presence anymore, it's because something's gone wrong. Let's have a look at what the Bible says. Some reasons why the presence can go. Isaiah 59 verse number 2 says this. But your iniquities have separated you from God. And your sins have hidden, look, his face from you. So that he will not hear you. In other words, your sin has separated you from the face of God, which really represents his presence. Sometimes we can walk away from God or we fall short and then we end up going into this terrible pit. Sometimes that pit can be self-inflicted. In other words, we actually run away from God. You see, the truth is God doesn't desire to leave you. What happens when we sin is it's a natural response because condemnation comes if we don't go back to God quickly. And that condemnation then causes us to run. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's go to Genesis 3 verse number 6. Genesis 3 verse number 6. This is in the garden. This is right in the beginning. Nothing's changed. It's still the same today. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, this is now in Eden, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves a covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. I want you to understand that what happens is when we sin, when iniquity enters our heart, when we begin to make these mistakes and we don't stay close to God, what will happen is we ourselves will hide from the presence of the Lord. Sin and trespasses and iniquities, they will cause us to no longer experience God's presence. The good news, guys, is that there is a way back. Amen? And that if we go back to him, remember, even yesterday, the message yesterday, if you didn't get it, if you watched the return, was it's time for the church to repent. It's time for the church to go back to her first love. Who's the church's first love? The first love is God. But listen, that's not just God, there you are. Thank you so much for all your blessings. Thank you so much that you've done so much for me. I just, you know, we'll come to church on Sunday. We'll experience you then. But Monday to Friday, God, listen, you know, that's my time. And then Saturday, I'll start thinking about you. And then Sunday will be your day. No, a church that has God as their first love is a church that desires his presence. Is a church that desires to live out of his presence. Listen, you cannot change the world with your theology. You cannot change the world with your doctrine. But I can assure you, you can change the world with his presence. How do I know? Oh, come on, look at Jesus. He changed the world when he carried the presence of his Father. Look at the disciples. They carried the presence of the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, and they changed the world. You also have that same Holy Spirit living in you. You too can change the world. Now watch this, because this is just, I just get so excited. That story in Eden doesn't end there. I want you to see God's response. Genesis 3, verse number 8. Let's just pick it up from there. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" I want you to know that no matter how far you've gotten from the presence of God, he's calling you. Do you see how he calls us to himself? He calls us to himself. I don't know about you, but I think that's so powerful. Psalm 27, verse number 8, the psalmist David says this. Then you said, "Seek my face." And my heart said to you, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." That means that the psalmist was saying, "Lord, I will seek your presence." David understood. And listen, guys, David made some serious mistakes. I'm far better than David. Okay? Better behaved than David. Okay? David was really bad. But David understood the presence of God. Now listen to me. How do we know this? Because David understood worship. David had the ability to worship. You stand in church, you come to church, you don't lift your hands. You don't lift your voice to him. Your posture doesn't change. Now, I know not everybody's the same, but listen, your heart can at least bow before him. Worship is an attitude. It's a posture. It's a decision that you make. Listen, David messed up. And even when Nathan came to David and really prophesied the most horrible stuff to him, what did David? David didn't go and start blaming God. He knew he messed up. And he went before God and he cried out to God. And when the response from heaven wasn't what he wanted, what was the response from heaven? His son died. And after his son died, he went and washed his face and he carried on. I couldn't do that. But I want you to understand that's how he walked with the Lord. And even when he didn't get the answer he wanted, it didn't change his heart. That's why the Bible says he was a man after his heart. When David set up the tabernacle, he set up a place of worship. Why? Because he knew the only way his kingdom would succeed was if he had the presence of God. He needed the presence of God to sustain what God was busy doing in his life. He needed the presence of God. And David understood this better than anyone, especially after everything he'd been through, because God didn't leave him. That's why he said, "Take everything from me, but do not take your presence." Now, I want to show you something. You've read this many times, but I want to give you a perspective that maybe you haven't seen. Let's go to John 14, verse 16. And then this is my closing passage, and we'll close. Oh, how many of you want the presence of God? Amen. And Jesus spoke about giving his spirit to his disciples when they were, I can imagine this must have been so difficult for them. Imagine now they were in the presence of the Lord Jesus. This is what he says. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide," look at this, "with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans." Now watch. "I will come to you." When will he come to you? Oh, guys, you need to get this. Jesus has just told him that the Holy Spirit will come. And then he's just told him, "I will not leave you orphans." And then he says this. He doesn't say the Holy Spirit will come to you. He says, "I will come to you." Oh, so powerful. And then he tells them, "Don't worry, a little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you, my disciples, you will see me because I will live. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me. Oh God, and I in you. In other words, listen. That day, disciples, don't worry, I'm going, but I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to send another helper. And then he says, but don't worry, I'll be back. Not only will I be back, but I will come and I will be in you. You see, what was he saying? He was saying, I will manifest myself again to you. But this time it will be a little different, but it's still me. It's still me. Do you realize that that same spirit is in you? Do you really get that? Because if you did, you cannot believe that God doesn't move today. If you did, you cannot believe that his presence does not sustain today. If you really believe that, well, you know, we can believe theologically, Pastor Alex, that the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, but you know, he's dormant. Do you even know what the word power means? The word power means dunamis. Dunamis comes from explode, dynamite. It's an explosion. How can you contain an explosion? You cannot contain an explosion. When the Holy Spirit is in you, there's no way he wants to sit there and watch you live your life, guys. He was given to you so that you can change the world. He was given to you so that you can spread the message of life, of love, of hope, of peace, of provision. The same message that Jesus preached, that's your message. Well, Pastor Alex, I don't have a message. Oh, yes, you do. What message do I have? You have the same message that Jesus had. You have the message of the kingdom of God. The Bible says if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. Sit down, we're almost done. Now watch. Because he gives, he finishes off with a condition. Watch this now. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he. It is he who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. Now watch. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. That's why, guys, listen. You will never get it right. You will always sin. But when you do, he made a way. That doesn't mean that we have a license to sin. We don't. It will affect the presence of God on your life. And if you love him, you will hate sin. You will hate it because you know it will affect what he has for you. But I want you to know that he loves you and he wants to manifest himself to you. This morning in this place, This is your destiny. You were called to be a presence-driven Christian. One who lives in the presence of God. Well, how do we get the presence? I'm so glad you're asking. Let's invite him in. Let's invite him into this place. What do I need to do, Pastor Alex? Repent. If you don't have the presence in your life, make a decision. And that's what it is, guys. It is a decision. If we've grieved him, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You see, most people don't realize that it's important that you get to know the Holy Spirit. He is God here on earth. He'll reveal Jesus to you. He'll reveal God to you. That's why the gifts are the manifestations of the Spirit. That's why the fruit of the Spirit reveals his nature to us. And the more you're in his presence, seeking his face in his word and praying and spending time with him, the more he will change you in every way. I'll never forget. Many years ago, I was in Stuart, and a father invited me. Some of you have heard this, but it's okay. You'll hear it again. I was invited to lunch. And at that stage, I was ministering every week on a Wednesday night and praying for a lot of people. And God was moving very powerfully. And I was just loving it. It was so awesome. It was like I was being an evangelist. That's what I thought I would be. And he drew a picture of a burning bush. And he pushed it across the table to me. And he said to me, "What do you choose?" In other words, I know what he was saying. I only understand now. He was saying, are you after the power or are you after the presence? Listen to me. Everything that you could possibly desire from God, you'll find in his presence. Don't chase after the things. Chase after the one who creates all the things. That's what you must desire with your whole heart. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. I need to close. Father, this morning in this place, Lord, we are in such a time on your timeline that is so critical, Lord, that we become a church that seeks after you. You will not hide yourself from those who seek you, Lord. You will not turn us away if we cry out to you, Father. Never. You won't do that. Because you're just too good. You're too wonderful. You're too merciful. Someone that repents and comes to you, Father, you don't turn them away because you sent your son to die for us. This morning in this place, Father, we don't just want to go through the motions. We want to seek your face. We want to seek your presence. We want to live in your presence. We desire provision. We desire protection from everything the enemy could throw at us. Yes, we desire joy. We desire rest. We desire refreshing. But Father, more than anything, we just want to be in your presence. Just to be in your presence like Moses was, Father. Like David was when he was hungry and he knew the benefits of just being with you. So I pray this morning, Father, that for everyone that desires your presence, Father, that in this place this morning, we could just surrender our hearts to you. Father, I repent myself from every time I've grieved you, seeked after anything else above you. I don't desire anything more than you, Father. Nothing above you. I go back to my first love. I desire your presence, Lord, more than anything. Father, the other day when I had that vision and I saw the protection that came from your presence, Father, I need your presence in my life. You see, when the face of God is turned away from you, you become a target to the enemy. Father, I need your face towards me. I need your presence towards me. I know that everyone here this morning feels the same way. We need your presence, Lord. And so this morning in this place, if you're here and you say, let's all stand for just a moment. We're going to close in like 2 minutes. I have to give you an opportunity. We can't waste the atmosphere because the presence of God is here right now. There's just no question about that. So we can't waste this atmosphere, this presence that's here. You see, his presence is already manifesting in this place, but it's now up to you to make a decision to cry out to him. You can experience his presence right now, right there where you are. His manifest presence, the actual tangible presence of God that will cause all those benefits I told you about. If you desire his presence this morning, you know where you are in your life with him. Cry out to him right now. Begin to cry out. Begin to pray right there where you are. Listen, don't worry about anybody standing next to you. They're not going to answer for you in heaven. It's between you and God. This is your opportunity right there where you are to begin to cry out to him. Begin to cry out to him right now, young and old, young person, old person, doesn't matter where you are. We all need the presence of God. Father, in this place this morning, I know even now you hear the cries and the prayers of those in this place that are crying out to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Let's just begin to worship a little bit so that we can begin to pray. I want to give you an opportunity. Listen, don't be afraid to express yourself. Don't be afraid to cry out to God. If you need Him to touch you this morning, if you need His presence this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus, I break every curse that the enemy has put on any person in this place. I take authority right now over every demonic spirit that is trying to interfere with any person in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank You for life and life more abundant. This morning, Father, we turn from whatever it is that we are doing that has grieved You or we've sinned against You. Right now in this place, we ask for Your forgiveness and for Your mercy. Holy Spirit, we ask that You will come and that You will manifest Yourself to us in this place, that You will fill us this morning with Your presence, Lord. I ask in the mighty name of Jesus right now, Holy Spirit, that You touch every life. If you desire Him now, just say, Holy Spirit, I need Your presence. Just say to Him right now, I need Your presence. Holy Spirit, come. Come and fill me right now. Listen, if you cry out to Him and you repent, He will fill you up. If you ask for Him to come, the Bible says He will not give you a stone. He will give you His Spirit. Just lift your hands. Just lift your hands. Lift your voices. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Cry out to Him, guys. Come on, only those who hunger and thirst are the ones who will be filled. Come on, let me hear you cry out to the King of Kings this morning. Listen, I desire His presence, but I can't desire it for you. You have to desire His presence in your life, and He will change everything for you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We need Your presence, Lord. We need Your presence, Holy Spirit, in this place. We need You, Lord, with everything inside us. That is our cry. That is our prayer this morning. We need You. We need You. And so, Father, we give You thanks this morning. That we will be a presence-driven people. That we will seek after You with all of our hearts, Lord. We love You and we thank You for everything that You have done, Father, and will continue to do. We give You all of the honor and the glory and the praise, Father, in this place. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your presence. Thank You, Jesus, for Your presence. Thank You, Father, for Your presence. We love You and we honor You in this place. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.